Well, welcome to the weekend. It is all about to happen in the NBL Championship Series, and we thought we'd get together and lay down some predictions for this grand final series. Pete Hooley and Damon Lowry are here. They are ready to fire from the hip. Let's get into it on NBL Now. Great to have you with us as we build up to an NBL Grand Final series. Tassie and Melbourne United, we're not usually in your feed on a weekend, but we thought we'd sit back on the couch on a Saturday and just throw out some predictions on this weekend. Joel Peterson, Damon Lowry and Pete Hooley with you. Pete, we were in Perth on Wednesday night. Have you slept enough since then? Are you ready to roll for this championship series?
I don't sleep much at the best of times, Joel, but yes, I'm keen for this series. And I think with my predictions here that recency bias and having seen what we saw in Perth with our own eyes may play a little part in some of these predictions. And that's just inevitable because of what we saw first glance, front row for the Tasmania show. But we'll get into it because one thing's for certain, I like to disagree with Damon Lowry, and that's the key to it all.
Are you feeling combative, Damon, based off that from Pete? A little shot fired early?
Always. And I already got a prediction. I predict Pete is going to bust his ass falling off the fence. He's going to be sitting up.
That's good. I like that. There's a couple of shots fired early. All right, phone's on silent. Let's get into this. So first question is, who are we going to first here? Am I coming to you, Damon, to kick us off?
Yeah, let's go with me first because I'm going to be definitive. I'm not going to be, let's go.
Alrighty, let's roll. I want to start with an X factor in this series. So it doesn't have to be the biggest name. It has to be someone who's got the potential to change things in this series. Who's your X factor, Damon Lowry?
Now, because everybody knows all of these Tasmania Jack Jumpers, my X factor is coming from the Apple Isle. And they're already deep, as we all know. But Shawnee Mack is my X factor. He's the guy that's probably not going to get double figures maybe in any game. But he's going to come on when it's his time, when his name is called. He's going to make some key plays, some key assists, hit a big shot, just do some intangible Shawnee Mack thing that's going to turn the game in the favor of the Jack Jumpers.
I don't mind it. Look, I'm not here to... Sometimes you say things I agree with, Damon, I will back you up. So look, I think there's a few candidates out there. And it's weird because X Factor, you're right, we don't normally go with the big names, but in terms of who can swing this contest in their team's favor more so, if we're going down that route, it's Will Magnay for me. I know it's a superstar name. We know he signed the deal and everything. But in terms of being able to control games on both ends and what we'll get into some matchups, what he could potentially do, what he has to do to help Tasmania, he's the one for me that could really swing a series. And we've seen it all season long. Will Magnay might be my Angus Glover of last year.
Who's your biggest defensive pest? I'm going to handball this one to you, Halls. The biggest issue at that end of the floor.
Because we're going with the word pest, if you said like best defender or who's going to be the best defender in the series, I'd have a different answer. But you said pest, and now history plays a part in this. I'm saying Anthony Drimmick. Because you said defensive pest, and I look back to 2018 series and what happened, and you've seen matchups between Chris Golding and Anthony Drimmick in the past when they go at it a little bit off the floor, what Anthony Drimmick was trying to do to Bryce Cotton. You talk about defensive pest and trying to be a pest. I think Anthony Drimmick does that very, very well. It's part of his makeup and his build. If we're talking best defenders, I would have probably gone Shaley, but you say pest, I'm going to go down the Anthony Drimmick route.
That's a good call. Had you said who's your biggest commentary pest? It'd have been Peter Hooley with a bullet. But Hooles, man, that's a good one. Anthony Drimmick, he teeters. He is so close to the edge that, he's going to pester somebody into something. Either he's going to pester the referees, he's going to pester the opposition, but it's going to go down and Drimmick is going to be involved. Yep, I like that one.
All right, off the back of that, I think this ties in neatly. Who's the most likely to get ejected, Damon? Who's the hothead of the series that starts something?
Ooh, the hothead. Now, I can't see any Jack Jumpers getting ejected because they're too disciplined. Scott Roth just cannot have that type of behavior. You got to rat them out after the game, make a phone call or two to a well-placed group who should remain nameless to maybe get somebody rubbed out. But I don't see any ejections in this. I don't see any any technical fouls even resulted in injections. So unless you got somebody who's, I got nobody that's going to get ejected.
Yeah, I think these are two real professional teams and two teams that are really locked in. If you had to pick someone, maybe Tom Bogdanovic, if he gets on the floor, he might throw his body around a couple of times and just do something a little extracurricular, be thrown out. But again, we saw Scott Roth, the ultimate cool factor in Perth. And I think that if he continues to stay down that path, especially in John Cain Arena, it's going to be it won't be a polite series, but I think it'll be a very professional series and well-mannered.
Well, I'm going to eject Damon for not picking anyone. So, Damon, you're off. You're out. You're rejected. You got to come back next in the next game, and we'll keep rolling with this.
If we're ejecting Damon, can we eject him for how many times we have to see his pecs bouncing every day on Instagram on his stories? Or is that just...
No, I mean, that's personal preference, Pete. That's personal preference. I mean, I don't need it at 5 o'clock in the morning, but maybe that's at 12 o'clock in the afternoon. It's sort of more what people want to see.
Great pecs, just not at 5 o'clock in the morning.
That's okay. That takes all sorts. That's why we're here to chop this up and provide some different perspectives. What about a highlight? So, you know, these grand final series so often are they're sort of bookended by iconic moments. And we've had that Will Magnay dunk so far in this playoffs, that huge dunk when he took down Illawarra, and you know he had countless moments in that game. The Chris Golding drive to the hoop to tie it up at 100 against the Hawks in game one of that series. We've not been short of big moments in these playoffs. Hools, if there is to be one lasting memory that we leave this series with, who does it come from?
The first thing that came to my head was going to be a Jordan Crawford crossover, because I think that he's going to really relish this game after a low semi-final series. But the other one for me, I think we're going to get a massive Joe Lualachul dunk. Because when JLA, he's going to come out really aggressive. And when he's going to go up, Will Magnay or Marcus Lee, they're not afraid to try and meet him at the rim. And I think the JLA, you know, the kind of vibes he gets, the aggression, he likes to flex and get the crowd going. Anytime you have two bigs that are willing to meet each other at the rim, there's going to be a highlight waiting. And it's inevitable. At one point, one way or another, that highlight is going to come on either end. And I'm going to look forward to continuing to post that on every social.
See, I was actually thinking Jordan Crawford. The little big man has been quiet. And I'm going to go with what you were thinking, Pete. He is going to go into his bag and he is going to dance and somebody's going to fall over. I'm thinking when Dele was trying to guard Steph Curry in the finals and Steph Curry hit him with the six-piece combo and then the triple, I'm thinking along those lines. Dele's going to be going for every single fake. He's going to try to put his body on the line and try to cut guys off. And I think Jordan Crawford is going to come out with one of his best moves. Last time we seen Jordan Crawford at his dancing best, he nearly tore Tom Blanchfield's Achilles apart in Illawarra. I'm thinking he's got something up his sleeve. And can I just throw in one more? We are going to see at some stage a Jack McVay double gun show. He's going to get an and one. It's going to happen in Tassie. And Jack McVay is going to have the mean face and he's going to flex both of his little puny guns to get the crowd hyped up.
That could happen in warm-up. I mean, that doesn't have to happen in the game necessarily.
That's as inevitable as Damon picking another under 5'5" human being. It's for his highlight. That's the two things inevitable in life.
I'm thinking Milton Doyle and Chris Golding are just that may be entering the chat at this moment saying any chance of a game winner there, guys? You know, Golding off balance, three ball, seconds remaining. That could be special. But I like the concept of a JLA dunk, him and Will Magnay. That's kind of fun. And I mean, Crawford, if he can return to form, he could be really dangerous. What's the matchup in this series, Damon, that when you look at it, that you're really looking forward to watching, the kind of the head to head mano a mano stuff?
I'm looking forward to the Jack McVay, Luke Travers matchup. That's going to be a good one. Luke Travers is playing that kind of deep. I didn't feel like the Gary Clark, Luke Travers matchup. I didn't feel like that suited Luke Travers. I thought Gary's a little too strong. In hindsight, he did an excellent job on Gary Clark. But Jack McVay is the Liam Neeson of the NBL. Stay with me on this one. He does not have the best handles in the league. He does not have the best athleticism in the league. But what he does have is a particular set of skills. And Luke Travis is going to come over there and Jack is going to find you and he will score on you, Luke. It's coming. Better believe it.
Good luck beating that, Pete.
Delay recording when he's trying to remember the lines to take one. That's exactly why. Now it makes sense that we had to record an hour later. There's only one. I mean, there's a few answers, but for me, it's that Joe Lualatu or Will Magnay. That's the matchup that's going to tell this series because we're going to have some elite guard matchups with Delly and Doyle and Crawford and Shaley, but Joe Lualatu versus Will Magnay, whoever can get the upper hand in that matchup is going to go a long way, probably carry more weight than anything else into winning for each of their teams. And JLA is coming to mean business. We'll talk about being a little bit quiet in terms of the big games we come to expect in the semifinal series. You know he's going to come out aggressive and try and win another championship. And then Will Magnay, his rise since being healthy doesn't look like it's slowing down anytime soon. He wants to win this matchup. He wants to get to the Boomers camp. He wants to put his foot in Paris and beyond after signing a two-year deal. So that's I've got my popcorn ready for that matchup for sure.
Well, the Melbourne Bigs have it put on them a bit, Pete, after Sam Frohling's performance in that semi-final series.
I think so. I mean, I think that's just the way that Dean Vickerman, not so much put on, but it's the challenge that Dean Vickerman will now have. And you go through and they'll have the meetings individually leading into this series and say, everyone's talking about Will Magnay right now. Sit Joe down, Ariel down. So everyone's talking about Will Magnay and Marcus Lee. This is your challenge now to go out there and win this individual battle to help us win a title. And the best players rise to those moments. We see it time and time again.
The Bigs are fascinating in that, I mean, the Travis-McVay matchup, these two guys, like, Travis has had a breakout series, right? We know the caliber of player that he is, but that his series against Illawarra is outstanding, and Jack McVay's coming off a season high 27, so, that's going to be all kinds of fun, that matchup at the four. We get down to these playoff series, though, so often, grand final series, and it's just about who's got the best player on the court. Who's got the MVP of a series goes so far to being able to decide things. Damon Lowry, who's your most valuable player of this grand final series?
Jack McVay. Jack McVay is my MVP because he is not only is he Liam Neeson, he's the accumulator. Yes, there's going to be games that Milton Doyle is just going to win. He's just going to just be Milton Doyle. But over the course of the series, they will not go five games, by the way. He will always just have 20, 18, 24 over the whole course of the series, he's going to be the most consistent because he's the guy that can score the most consistently from a variety of ways. Doyle can be 0-for-8 and then all of a sudden go for 13 or 14 in a quarter, whereas Jack can just keep ticking him over old school 5-a-quarter type style. So I just like his consistency, and I feel like Jack is going to put the McVay into the grand final MVP.
I don't mind it. Damon, there's not too much to disagree. I don't mind some of the things that are coming out of your mouth, which is very hard for me to say because it's very unique and rare for me to say. There's only one for me because I had a front row seat to it in 2018, and that's Chris Golding. Some players are built for certain moments in time, whether it's sport and life. And I'll never forget before game 5, packing it. I was so nervous to play, and he just looked at me and said that these moments are what you live for. And he went out there and put that game to bed at quarter time. Probably you had a case to win grand final MVP the second time they won it as well. But this is just what he does. He steps up in big moments, makes big plays, and you just feel like he's primed for after the season he's had. He's going to have his name all over this series. There's going to be multiple guys thrown at him to try and quieten him down. But we remember down in Tasmania, the shot that DJ Vasiljevic hit that went around and he was yelling at everybody in Hobart. It's kind of got that written all over it in a game 4. I'm all for, I want to see 5 games too. Damon only wants to see 4, and I know why that is, because he had one too many beverages the last game when he got thrown on the broadcast commentary watching his Hawks go down. But I want to see 5, and I think that if it does go to 5, I think Chris Golding's going to have his handprints all over this because that's what greatness does.
All right.
What a surprise.
Well, what about the series prediction then? So, Damon, you've got it going 4, but who wins it?
Jack Jumpers. We can go back to one of the NBL Now round tables we did with Jack Heaven and Derek Rucker. I say this is the Tasmanian Jack Jumpers time. Third year in existence. Made a championship series in year 1. Semi-final could have easily got to the championship series in year 2. I just feel like this team now has more offensive firepower than they've ever had. And they still got all the basic values that they stand on. Like, they stand on business, these dudes. They defending the island. All the Jackie Way type stuff that we've been hearing over the last 2.5 seasons is all going to culminate finally for the Jack Jumpers to be crowned champions. So I think it's going to go on 4.
Don't agree with the 4. I'm not too far above. I do think that Tasmania are really primed for this. They've been unbelievable. And again, all season long, the way they've managed to get it together. And they're the team that you wanted to see if Melbourne United will make the championship in it because of what the problems they can cause. And they're the mentally toughest team in the league. That is true. And Damon, you're the most mentally tough person that I know. I just see Melbourne United winning in 5. It's going to come down to that 5th game. And when you've got players who have been in a Game 5 championship decided before, that's when they step up and kind of take those moments. And that's what I mentioned with the MVP. I think that's the kind of Chris Golding, the Ian Clark. We didn't talk about Ian Clark at all in this, but he's won championships. He understands those moments. You talk about a highlight play we might see. Ian Clark's going to come out, hit 3 threes consecutively in 2 minutes and then get a quick timeout from Tasmania. But this is going to be as hotly contested as we've seen for a series in some time. Last year was epic. 2018 was epic. And I think it's going to go to 5. And it's weird. I don't think the home court advantage matters too much because the way these teams play, they just kind of play locked out. And I mean, locked in and block everything else out. But I'm here for 5 games. I'm here for the long haul. Give me a couple of overtimes thrown in. Let's do it.
That'd be nice. That would be nice if there's a couple of OTs in there. So, of course, it starts on Sunday, 4 o'clock Eastern Daylight Time, Melbourne and Tassie. We have to stick with tradition here on our last episode of NBL Now for the week. Shout out to my man, Liam Santamaria, who's been good enough to put up with this from me all season. But I like to finish the week with a weekend headline. What's the paper going to be saying on Monday about the action that we see across the course of the weekend? And no one needs to hear my predictions on the series. No one gives two hoots what I think, and that's quite okay. But I am going to give you a weekend headline, and it is going to be in the Tassie papers, the Jackies get the jump. I'm taking Tassie to win Game 1.
Oh.
There you go. Will it happen or not? I don't know. I think that could really set the series up to be very, very interesting. Paul, you're a newcomer to our weekend headlines. What have you got for me?
I wasn't the wordsmith that you were there. I thought that was very well put together. Nice little play on words.
I got to be bringing something to the table.
I'm feeling the same. Mine would have been that Tassie heading down to go tour. I think that Tassie can get Game 1. They can get the jump on them in Game 1. But again, I said it was going to come down to what we saw with our own eyes. What we saw with Tasmania, the way they executed that game plan in Perth. I think they're coming in feeling so good about themselves. And Game 1 can kind of be like that free hit, right? If you've got 5 games and they have to steal one on the road, let's give it a real hot crack in the first one. If we don't get that, we'll take care of business at home. But I think the way they played, if they carry that over even 90%, that they will get the job done in Game 1. And I think that's what the headline could say, is they'll head home, a chance to go 2 up. But, oh, man, I'm excited now that we're talking about it.
So you think they could win Game 1 and then the series could still go to 5 and Melbourne United win?
Yeah, Melbourne United. If they win Game 1, Melbourne United will win Game 2.
Okay. That would really spice it up. Damon, what do you got for us to close it out?
Well, I don't have... obviously, I got the Jack Jumpers winning a series in 4, but I don't have them winning Game 1. Huh? I got Melbourne United winning Game 1, and I got the Monday, the Herald Sun. And it's a big photo of CG43 on the back page because he's hit a dagger. And the headline is, "Are you not entertained?" CG is the gladiator. John Cain Arena. The crowd should be a bumper crowd. Nice Sunday afternoon feel about it. The last game in Illawarra, the crowd wasn't quite at John Cain expectations for various reasons and blah, blah, blah. But Sunday, I'm expecting double figure, 13,000 in there, however many. And CG, he loves nothing better than a big stage. So, yeah, I'm expecting the gladiator to entertain the masses.
I like it. I like it. I think we've done well here. Are you concerned about I thought Pete, you know, no fence sitting from Pete Hooley. I thought, Damon, what your assessment of Pete's predictions?
Now I'm going to have to go back and reassess. He's probably going to pull up sore in the morning because he stretched himself out.
I like it.
When he said, I thought he was about to say that he's not as word savvy as you or I are, Joel, because he did have a broadcast game where he tried to compare our college degrees and our GPAs, and then I quickly had to put him in his place. because that behind me, so I don't know if it's an audio, but I have my diplomas and my master's degrees behind me as we record this. I think he's just trying to figure out what they look like. That's what I think.
Well, as long as he's not singing, I'm happy. What you've got to do, Pete, is just get a heap of awards on your bookshelf like I've got. They're all my wife's. None of them are mine, but they look like they could be mine. So that's part of the secret to it. Hey, guys, great fun chatting hoops with you. Of course, can't wait till Sunday when it all begins and we get this championship season started, eh?
Let's do it.
Thanks, Joel.
It's going to be great fun, of course. All the action Sunday, 4 o'clock Eastern Daylight Time, the NBL app, and, of course, nbl.com.au for all your news in the meantime.